I want to talk about another negative attitude toward the Holy Spirit that we shouldn't have. Obviously, we shouldn't have negative attitudes about the Holy Spirit. And one of the negative attitudes that we looked at last week was, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's Ephesians 4:30. This afternoon, we want to look at a second one, and it is, quench not the Holy Spirit of God, found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. Quench not the Holy Spirit of God. Now, when you think of quench, it's really the same thing as extinguish. When you think about extinguishing something, what do you think about? A fire, right? You know, the Bible characterizes God as a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. And when John the Baptist was denying the fact that he was not the Messiah, but he was preparing the way for the Messiah, he made this distinction. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so that actually happened. When the church was birthed, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit baptized believers into the body of Christ. And when you read the first few verses of Acts chapter 2, there was fire, as it were, that rested over the heads of these believers. And a fire was kindled in their heart as well. And the Holy Spirit fire blazed through them worldwide and spread. So I'm going to talk to you about the fire of the Holy Spirit that we should never do anything to quench, to extinguish. And then I'm going to open it up and you can comment or you can ask a question or whatever. But let's take a few minutes, look at this 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Before we do, let's pause to pray. Heavenly Father, it's so good that we have your word. And thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the direction. Thank you for, as we talked about this morning, thank you for the nourishment and for the life. You have the words of life. Thank you for the life that is generated by the Holy Spirit of God through your word to our hearts as Jesus becomes our true bread. Lord, we ask that you might make this time spiritually profitable. Would you anoint our understanding? Because you are the unction that we have from on high. You're the anointing from the Holy One. And so I pray for that anointing that we might be taught of the Spirit of God and understand somewhat of what it means to stop quenching, to stop extinguishing that spiritual fire that you ignite in the hearts of your people, in the lives of your people. We pray it all to the glory of Jesus, in whose name we ask it. Amen. I used that word just now, ignited, because that's exactly what we're talking about. That's where fire begins. Before there can be a fire, fire has to be ignited, right? And the fire in the heart of a believer is when that believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. A passionate desire to know the Lord and to share his gospel. It is the Holy Spirit who ignites that kind of fire in the heart of believers that causes them to burn, causes their hearts to burn with a passion to both know Christ and then to make him known. If you really know Christ, you can't keep quiet about him. You can't do anything else but speak of him and make him known to others. It blazes from your life. Well, The Holy Spirit warms believers' hearts. You know what I'm talking about? You know what it is to experience the warming of your heart by the Spirit of the living God? The baptism by the Spirit's fire. That's what Jesus said, or that's what John said rather about Jesus, that he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Holy Spirit warms our heart in several ways. Number one, the Holy Spirit warms our heart by enlightening our minds to understand spiritual truth, to understand some of the things like we were talking about this morning about Jesus. And the more he warms your heart, the deeper your understanding can be of him, of the Lord. He enlightens our minds so that we know. But in warming the heart, he also empowers our will to do what he shows us. In warming the heart, he enables, he empowers our will to do what he shows us. And he warms our heart with his fire to love as we ought to love. Not only to love God as we ought to love him, but as Brother Dave was saying, to love others. That is actually what the Spirit of God produces in the heart of his people. When we look to him, when he lights that fire, when he fills us with himself, there is fruit that comes, and the fruit is love. Three things. When the Spirit of God ignites a fire in us, one thing is it has a melting effect. It has a melting effect. You know, my heart is pretty hard naturally. It's pretty hard. My heart is pretty proud naturally. What the Lord has to do to make me effective and to be able to be used by him is to melt my hard heart. His fire melts our heart. Just like you see when you light a candle, that wax melting and dripping down. The Holy Spirit of God is the fire of God that melts our hearts and softens our hearts and gives us the desire for harmony and for unity and to cooperate one with God and with one another to be effective for him. So the first thing that the Holy Spirit fire does, it melts our hearts. And I need that. We need that melting of our heart. Another thing his fire does, he says, when he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire purifies the heart as well, purifies the inner man. And the way the Holy Spirit does that is he convinces us. That's really what conviction is. We talk about Holy Spirit conviction. You know what Holy Spirit conviction is? It's that the Holy Spirit convinces us, you know what? What you said, what you did, that displeases God. He convinces us. And when he does, when we respond to that, if our heart is first softened by him, melted by him, then when he convinces us and we respond to it, he purifies. He cleanses. That's what the Bible says. If we confess our sin, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he convinces and he cleanses of sin so that we can be useful. There's another thing. When fire is ignited, it enables. The Spirit of God enables. His fire is an enabling fire. It burns so that we can have victory in our spiritual lives over sin. Now, if you're familiar with the book of 1 Thessalonians, this is the end of it where we're looking at 1 Thessalonians 5:19. There's a few real quick phrases here. Verse 19 is just one of them. But if you're familiar with the book of 1 Thessalonians, There's two main sins that he is dealing with in the book. One is loafing. Yeah. People who won't work. Loafing. He deals with the sin of loafing in 1 Thessalonians, but also he deals with the sin of immorality. Learning to possess your body in holiness and honor to God. Those are the two main sins that he covers in this little letter of 1 Thessalonians. Well, the Holy Spirit ignites a fire in your heart. You know what he does? He gives you victory over sin. You have victory over loafing. You have victory over immorality or any other sin for that matter, because he enables you, he empowers you to access the very life of and strength and energy and power of Jesus himself. He's the revealer and he is the giver of Jesus's life in you and makes your service for him fruitful. All right. So the fire. Don't quench the fire of the Holy Spirit. Don't extinguish the fire of the Holy Spirit that he ignites in you. Let's think about that word quench. Quench not the Holy Spirit. That's all the verse here says. Quench not the Spirit. The Spirit, he can be ignited within you. But this verse tells us that the Holy Spirit can be extinguished within you. That fervent, beautiful fire can be put out. It can be snuffed out. You can snuff out the flame. Isn't that interesting? Here we have God. He's like the fire in us. And yet you can possibly choose to douse that fire that burns within. And when you do, you reduce it to black, cold charcoal, where your heart was once warmed and light, it becomes cold and death-like. Fire. The Holy Spirit fire within can be extinguished. You know what that feels like? It feels like death. It feels like a cold heart. You can extinguish that fire that burns within that was once warm and bright. And when you do so, it's like pouring water on a fire. Do we have any campers? Have you ever camped? Ever built a campfire? Ever enjoyed the outdoors and had a campfire? And when you, before you leave that campsite, if you've had a campfire, you got to be sure that the thing's out. You don't want it to spread. You don't want the wind to pick up a little glowing ember and take it across into a field and start a fire. So before you leave, you take a bucket of water or whatever, and you pour it on that campfire to make sure all the glowing embers are totally out. Well, you can do that as a believer to the fire of the Holy Spirit. You can extinguish, you can pour water on the fire within. That water is sin, of course. Sin is the water that grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit. It hinders the Holy Spirit. We hinder the Holy Spirit. We quench the Holy Spirit, I think, by simply ignoring his promptings. You know how the Holy Spirit inwardly nudges you? You know what I'm talking about? You know that inward nudging of the Holy Spirit? Where he nudges you to stop doing that, or he nudges you to start doing that, that inner nudge of the Holy Spirit. Well, if you ignore that, if you diminish that inner nudge by the Spirit, you can snuff out his fire in you. You can extinguish his fire. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. He's still there. But the fire that he ignited in you, you have, whether you realize it or not, have extinguished if you don't acknowledge if you don't respond to his prompting, to that inner nudge within you, you can extinguish that fire that's been ignited. So the Holy Spirit, when you got saved, when he moved in you. And if he's the fire of God, then he ignited a flame within your heart. He ignited that within you. And the idea here is, quench not the Spirit. Don't ever, ever let the fire die on the altar of your heart. Don't ever let that fire die on the altar. You know what? Honestly, from my heart to yours, that's one of the things that I fear the most. If the fire of the Holy Spirit within me, that I grieve him and thus quench him and put that fire out. And I'm not saying that I never do. I do. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. But the fact of the matter is, I want that fire. I don't want to extinguish it. And so I'm thinking about a couple of verses that we have in Paul's letter to that young pastor, Timothy. And so I'm going to begin by just looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Well, before I get there, maybe 2 Timothy chapter 1. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy here. 2 Timothy 1:6. He says, Timothy, wherefore I put you in remembrance. Remember, Timothy, that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. What's he talking about? In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, he says to Timothy these words, Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. What's he talking about? The gift of God, both that phrase in 1 Timothy 4:14, 2 Timothy 1:6, that gift of God is not a thing, it's a person. And that person, the gift of God, is the Holy Spirit. And what he's saying here is that you need to stoke the fire. It's another way of saying it. The fire, you need to fan the flame of the Holy Spirit, the gift of God in you. In that 2 Timothy 1:6 passage, he says, stir up the gift of God. That word stir up or word stir up means to kindle afresh. It means to keep in full flame. It's actually a compound word in the original language made up of again, alive, and fire. And so it means to keep the fire alive. Keep the fire up again is what he's saying. The Holy Spirit is the fire. It's the gift of God. He is the gift of God, I should say. And the fire of the Holy Spirit has the capacity of dying out. In 1 Timothy 4:14, you know how it dies out? By neglect. One of my children, they live up north, and they heat their house in the wintertime with a wood stove furnace, okay? Well, we've stayed there when they've been away watching their kids in the wintertime. And I remember having to get up early in the morning and put some more wood in that furnace because by the time I woke up, the house was pretty cold because the fire had burned all of the wood down to just a few little embers. And so you have to put more wood on the fire so that fire gets stoked and it begins to burn brightly again and heat up the house. By sleeping, you neglect to put new logs on the fire, and so the fire dies out. And that's the idea here in 1 Timothy 4:14. You got the fire of the Holy Spirit in you if you're a believer, but you can neglect the fire. You can neglect to stoke it. You can neglect to feed the flame, to fan the flame. And as a result, it dwindles and starts to die out through neglect. Basically, he's saying, neglect not the gift of God. He's saying, stop neglecting God's gift of the Holy Spirit's fire within you. Take active steps to fan it into flame, is what he's saying, so that it'll flame up bright again. Does anyone here know what a bellows is? A couple of us old timers do. Ever had a fireplace in your house or in a house? A fireplace? Okay. If you have a fireplace or even a wood stove, I guess for that. I know we don't have them here in the city very much. But if you have a fireplace, you put, of course, the wood in the fire. And you know what fire needs besides fuel, like wood? You know what it needs to burn? Air. Oxygen. And so the old timers came up with a contraption called a bellows. And all it was two pieces of wood with a hole in the front and leather hooking the two pieces of wood together. And it goes like an accordion like that. And it creates air. And you blow that on the fire and it bursts into flame. Got the picture? God has a few bellows that he uses, that he's given us, and he uses to stir the flame, to stoke the fire that he's put within us. Can I give them to you? Number one, it's called conviction. The bellows of God's conviction. By that I mean, he puts a deep inner urge for fresh fervency that keeps growing in your heart until you're unable to ignore it. And it continues and it builds to the point where you can no longer go on as you are. You're no longer satisfied with business as usual in your spiritual life. And he ignites a deep heart cry of desire through conviction for his fire in your life. Have you experienced that? Have you had the bellows of God's conviction blowing deep desire that would cause your heart to cry out to God for the fire to blaze within you? Here's a second bellows that God uses. Not only conviction, but circumstances. Situations that God allows to develop in your life, in your sphere of experience, that makes clear you have a deep need inside of you. And that creates a desire for the fire of God to be rekindled and stoked within your soul. Because of circumstances that you're up against, oh, you need God. And then the third area that the bellows of God's fire is stoked is through what I would call challenge. That is what I'm doing right now to you. And that is when you have preaching that stirs your heart, or maybe a brother or sister in the Lord exhorts you and calls you to fervency for God. And that causes you to realize your need and to get involved in fanning the flames and fueling the fire in your life. If you don't bother, the fire goes out. It dwindles and goes out. You got to feed the flame. You got to fuel the fire. You got to fan that flame. That's what God wants us to cooperate with him in doing. That's why conviction and circumstances and these challenges from others comes our way. I read a story, true story, about a regiment that was dying of thirst in the Arabian desert. And they thought that they saw water off in the distance, but their Arabian guide said, no, that I'm warning you, that's not real water. That's a mirage. Well, they argued with the guide. And in battle, though, the guide was killed. And the whole regiment then rushed forward toward the water. And they went mile after mile after mile. And the mirage just left them thirsty and deeper into that desert until it was too late. They realized that they were just pursuing a fantasy. In your life, there's a white hot fire that the Holy Spirit of God produces. But through carelessness, through chasing mirages, through chasing other sources of water, of satisfaction, we let the fire dwindle. So it needs to be rekindled. Have you doused the Holy Spirit within you, his fire within you? Have you put it out? Have you snuffed it out simply by ignoring the fact that he is to burn within us? I have no desire. I have no service for the Lord. No desire for the Lord. No service for the Lord. Apart from what the Holy Spirit does in my heart. If I neglect him. If I neglect his word. The Holy Spirit's the author. If I neglect his word. This is the way that he continues to stoke the fire in me. If I neglect fellowship with people that are on fire, and that fire can spread from one person to another, it really can. If we neglect that, guess what? We'll be cold and dead like. Just like that dead, cold piece of charcoal after the fire has been doused and put out. So that's what I had to say. Quench not the Spirit. Don't extinguish the Holy Spirit. What do you say?